Welcome into today's Community Close-Up. We have with us today
Kathy Amos, Superintendent of Yancey County Schools.
It's been a while since we've had an opportunity to talk. I know you've had 4 or 5 months off. We talked early in March, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And it is good to see you back again. And goodness gracious, what a time.
Thank you.
What a time.
What a time. Our teams in COVID-19 has sent all of us into a tailspin. And education, we are very much trying to rebuild what school looks like and what it's going to look like next couple of weeks and months. And it has been a difficult situation all the way around for students, families, routines, our students, and I have a lot of people that I'd like to thank here in just a minute.
It hadn't been pretty at times, but we've made it. We've gone this far. We've done what we can.
Right.
And without your teachers, your staff, bus, everybody, and the parents and the kids, we wouldn't have got this far. So tell me a little bit about some of the folks that you'd like to thank.
Well, in particular, our teachers, you know, and administrators, we really had to overnight come up with a remote learning plan. And what does that look like? And we learned a lot of things from that. We'll do a lot of things differently the next round. And to parents, grandparents, having to teach kids at home and assisting us with that for the last 3 months of school. Obviously, our child nutrition workers and bus drivers, buses rolling out in the community as we started. And so we fed over 60,000 kids.
Wow.
We continue to send out each week now 1,600 breakfasts and lunches. And so really those workers and the custodians and keeping our schools clean so they could continue to work and serve and feed kids.
Right.
Also, the high school staff, they did a fabulous job with the graduation ceremony and honoring the class of 2020. It was not by any means the tradition and the pomp and circumstance that we wanted for them. However, I just really want to commend the high school faculty and staff for the job they did with the ceremony. The town, the parade, the McIntosh family and their hillside, we loved that, of having the class of 2020 represented there. The downtown merchants, they really decorated and made our kids feel special. You know, it was just an unusual time. And so I really appreciate the incredible community support that was offered to our students. And then most recently, and we'll talk about this a little bit too, with Diane Creek and Ashley Fox at the health department. I'm not an expert by any means in public health. And so I know about a little bit with kids and immunizations and sickness and those type things, but this is much more extensive. Jeff Howell and the expert advice that he's given on emergency management. And so that team has been very good to work with and very helpful. So I'd like to thank all those folks.
And it takes those folks like that and everybody working together. Someday when we look back at all this, when we can sit back and relax on the front porch and really look back at it, we have had some amazing people do some amazing things. It's just been...
And, you know, I said one day when I'm retired and I'm up on the river somewhere and I'm enjoying my evenings, you know, you will look back on this and think, oh, my goodness, how do we make it through? And it is by the support of really good people who know their stuff.
Right? Of course, we've not completely made it through. We're as far as we are. But now you have to start looking to a new school year. So tell me how that's working.
A lot of moving parts and pieces. We realized that the governor made his announcement last week that schools could either start on a plan B or C. And we've been debating this probably since June. DPI made the recommendations of different plans. We've talked to teachers, I've talked to parents, we've talked to principals, the board members. They've been very conflicted over this decision, and they still are. It's not simple by any means. We know that families have different needs based on at home and their children's needs and the health of their children. Some of them are at risk, and so how do we help them not only their at risk health-wise, but maybe even at risk academic-wise? And so our board has really done a good job. I've appreciated the questions, the debates, the working through, the working groups. We did survey our parents in July, and we know that surveys change all the times. We are going to be calling parents again this week and next and asking them some questions now as we kind of finalize our plans. But at that time, we had 678 responses. So out of our 2,100 kids, there were 1,680 kids represented. So it was a pretty good, pretty good survey. And parents were somewhat comfortable with, I think they are really in making sure that we are doing all the protocols that are expected from the state. So around 70% of our parents have voiced their opinions. They do want their kids in school. However, how do we do that with 2,100 kids and the staff we have and keeping them safe? So what the board has decided up to this point, and again, I want to preface for parents that that could change. We know that based on numbers and protocols of the health department and the matrix locally, that if those numbers rise, we could switch to a C. So plan B right now, what that means is that parents were talking about having a choice. Their kids could come to school 2 days a week, and the other 3 days they would be virtual at home, some things that we would do to help them in doing their homework or working at home. So kids would be there either Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, we would do deep cleaning, training of teachers, some tutoring if needed, parent conferences. And then another cluster of kids would come in on Thursday, Friday. And so at least we could see the kids 2 days a week and helping them with their academic needs. And there would be a lot of structure and protocol in place. We saw that with our child nutrition workers. We see that with our high school athletes that are mainly conditioning right now. So they're checking temperatures, making sure that we're social distancing, that we're cleaning, washing hands often, keeping the kids hydrated. There's a lot of specific requirements that we have to follow from the North Carolina Department of Health. And so our other option for parents, if they're not comfortable with the 2 days a week, is the fact that we will be putting out an application if students in K through 12 want to join a virtual academy. So that means our teachers would be teaching those students that are home. They may be at home for various reasons, and so we would assist parents in helping them to learn. There are some specific things that we are talking about in the virtual academy, and what I can tell parents at this point, the students would remain enrolled at their current school that they're assigned to. We would support any of their special needs, special education would be provided. We'd be provided those teachers to continue to help. Students would still receive their services if it's a gifted program or a second language program, any other interventions that they have. Families also continue to participate in our extracurriculars, sports, athletics, any of those things, even if they're in the virtual academy. And parents, if they're not currently enrolled in our school system, they would have to go and enroll in a school first. And then that way we would know what school they're associated with, and then we would go on from there.
We'll pause our conversation here and continue tomorrow on Community Close-Up as we hear more from Yancey County School Superintendent Kathy Amos about the new school year on the way and the various different options that are available for parents and students in the Yancey County school system. Thanks again to Superintendent Amos for visiting with us both today and for the next couple of days. And thank you for listening to today's Community Close-Up.